Hello, this is Winona LaDuke. Dollar General takes a hit. It may be time to work with Native people. Two court decisions, one at the U.S. Supreme Court and another in Canada's Federal Appeals Court, came out against big companies who do business with tribes and neglect tribal authority. Late June's U.S. Supreme Court decision let stand a lower court decision acknowledging tribal government authority to regulate a non-Indian business on tribal lands. The case involved Dollar General, the discount retailer, and a sexual assault charge. After a 4-4 split in the Supreme Court, the Dollar General versus Mississippi Band of Choctaw Indians decision left intact the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals decision. The decision upheld civil jurisdiction of a Choctaw tribal court to hear a suit against the retailer, Dollar General, concerning an alleged sexual assault by one of its employees against a tribal member, a minor, in a store on tribal land. The suit now will continue in tribal court against Dollar General, and we should all probably be watching. It will be interesting. Up north, in a Canadian court hearing, the Enbridge Company had a major setback when the Canadian Federal Appeals Court ruled that the $7.9 billion proposed Enbridge Gateway Pipeline, a pipeline proposed from the Alberta tar sands to the West Coast, would not go ahead because of a lack of tribal consultation. On June 30th, Canada's Federal Court of Appeals overturned approvals for Enbridge pipelines, finding that the government fell short in its obligations to consult with First Nations. The appeals court ruled that while the federal government designed a proper framework to consult with First Nations during the planning of the pipeline, the execution fell short in a critical phase of the consultation process. Frankly, the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission might take note. What does this all mean for the White Earth Band, Native people of the United States and Canada? Well, it may mean that the times are changing. The era of pushing pipelines, mining projects, or retail stores onto tribal land with immunity from tribal jurisdiction or consultation is over. We will see. It may also mean that if a corporation enters into a consensual agreement with a sovereign jurisdiction, that corporation's activities will be subject to jurisdiction by that tribe, aka the sovereign jurisdiction. Over time, there's been little regard for tribal jurisdiction by non-Indians who come onto tribal land. In fact, until the passage of the Federal Violence Against Women Act, VAWA, in 2014, there was no recourse for a Native woman in a domestic dispute with a non-tribal member on the reservation. Until 2014, the inability of tribes to protect our most vulnerable was for sure. Our ability was not guaranteed. Consider these statistics. 34% of Native women will be raped. 39% of the victims will be victims of domestic violence. And 67% of those reported cases reported their assailants to be non-Native individuals. This set of facts is paired with little or no justice. U.S. attorneys declined to prosecute nearly 52% of violent crimes that occur in Indian country, and 67% of those cases declined were sexual abuse cases. Under the 2014 federal law, there is now some recourse, but it is far from perfect. To the Native community, the debate remains a clear example of a discriminatory legal system. Since the Supreme Court's Oliphant decision stripped many tribal communities of criminal jurisdiction over non-tribal members, many reservations, like White Earth, where over half of the residents are non-enrolled band members, face complete and complex jurisdiction issues. Questions are which cops, which agencies, and which courts, let alone trying to figure out the three counties which have entrenched themselves inside of the reservation borders. In short, it gets pretty confusing. In contrast, Native people are prosecuted, both under tribal and non-tribal law, and are 11 times more likely to be in prison than a non-Indian. In short, Native people are subject to the laws of a different political entity, but non-Native criminals have found themselves free of charges in Indian country. Times may be changing. In 2003, Dollar General leased land from the tribe and entered into an agreement with the Mississippi Band of Choctaws. In a youth opportunity program, Dollar General enrolled a then 13-year-old tribal boy member into its youth opportunity program. He accused a store employee, non-member Dale Townsend, of sexual advances and sexual harassment. Unresolved, his family brought the case into tribal court in 2005. Dollar General was named as a defendant through vicarious liability, and it filed to dismiss the suit on the grounds that the tribal court did not have the authority to try it. The relatively narrow facts of the Dollar General case bring out a larger discussion. The case revolves around the idea of sovereignty, the right of a people to govern in order to have care over our own affairs. Buried in the questions about jurisdiction over the $2.5 million civil suit against Dollar General are deeper questions about how the United States, or in the Enbridge case, Canada, recognizes tribal authority, and how and where sovereignty arises. In short, the times seem to be changing, although, frankly, the Indian Wars are far from over. For the people of White Earth and other tribes, both cases may mean that our tribal government and legal institutions may be able to protect citizens from non-Indian businesses who break our laws. I, for one, would say it is about time. This is Winona LaDuke, Miigwech for listening. Have a good day.